Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and praise the Lord. Welcome to another episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. I am your host, Arthenius Jackson, with One Touch Transformation, coming to you live from the great city of Florence, South Carolina. And I am so excited to just be able to share some great news with you, some news, well, some words of encouragement, some words of empowerment, words of inspiration, and hopefully something that will help you draw closer to God and strengthen your relationship with Him. I'm so excited that you have decided to join in for another episode, and I hope that you are blessed by something that is said, but most importantly, I hope that you are drawn closer to our Savior. So again, I am Arthenius Jackson with One Touch Transformation, where our mission is to educate the community about sexual abuse while encouraging and empowering all victims and survivors. So we are an organization that's quite a little different when we're talking about ministry, because a lot of times this is not a subject that is often discussed in the four walls or just within the church, just, you know, in general. It's often taboo and no one likes to talk about it. But upon starting this organization, I was a survivor or was a victim of childhood sexual abuse for, you know, 20 years. Kept silent about it, but it wasn't until 2013 when I finally broke my silence. And the following year, I started the organization, which is a nonprofit called One Touch Transformation. And so ever since then, my mission has been to allow others or to show others that freedom is available, no matter how long you've been silent, no matter when it happened. I just want you to know that your story matters, because God wants you to live in freedom. And let me tell you, from the day that I first shared my story, I started feeling better about it. You know, it was like a burden lifted every time I shared it. And I'm not saying that you have to share it with the whole world. You don't have to share it with everyone. But I am saying that you will feel so much better once you share it. That's when you begin to walk in freedom. That's when you begin to experience, you know, true freedom. Because God, he lets us know that he wants us to live a life of abundance. And in order to live a life of abundance, we have to live freely. And God said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And whom the Son has made free, you are free indeed. And so I encourage all of you or anyone who may be listening, if you have experienced any type of abuse, say something, tell someone, share it with someone so that you too can walk in freedom. It will be a great decision. It's a hard decision to make, because just being transparent is one of the hardest things that I've ever done. But at the same time, it was also one of the best things that I've ever done. Being able to say, it happened to me, or me too. You know, we have the Me Too movement that was started. And let me tell you, ever since that whole, you know, hashtag Me Too has started, I have seen, I have read, I have heard so many others open up, both men and women, because we know it's not just a female thing, it's not just a black thing, it's not just a white thing, but it is a human thing. It happens to, or it can happen to anyone. It doesn't matter your background, it doesn't matter your social status or your socioeconomic status, it doesn't matter your financial status, it doesn't matter what your ethnicity is, your culture, but it happens in every area of the world, every area. It's just so sad that it happens so often, but it's not talked about often enough. So we have to get to the place where we're not afraid to have the conversation, especially in faith-based organizations, in the churches. We can't be afraid to talk about it. We can't be afraid to stand up for it. We can't be afraid to make sure we are holding leaders, whoever they are, accountable for their actions, because it is not right. It's horrible. It's a crime. We don't like it. God doesn't like it. And especially when we're talking about protecting our children. So we have to make sure that we are doing what we're supposed to be doing, holding these people accountable. making sure that we stand up and speak up for anyone who may be experiencing it. And on the other end, we have to make sure that we allow others to know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And that's what I've been doing, just allowing people to see what God has done for me. And if he can do it for me, I know that he can do it for you. He can do it for the next person. And even if you are not a victim or have not been a victim of sexual abuse, whatever you have gone through, whatever you may have experienced, because we've all experienced all kind of things. We've gone through trials. We've gone through different obstacles. But we do not have to allow what we have gone through to determine what God has for us. So many things that God wants to, you know, bring us through and bring us to, but we have to go through it. And we serve a God who is able to take us through whatever it is, whatever the hard time is, whatever you may be experiencing right now, whatever you may have experienced before. We know that if God can bring us through one thing, he can bring us through another. We serve a God who can do the impossible. We serve a God who gives us the healing, who gives us the miracles, who gives us the deliverance that we need. And he's been performing these miracles thousands and thousands of years. And if he's done it for others, sure enough, he can do it for you and I today. There is nothing too hard for you. One writer asks, is there anything too hard for God? But there is nothing too hard for our God. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what you have done, what you have been through, God is able. He's able to bring us through whatever it is. He's able to perform. He's able to heal. He's able to save. He's able to deliver. And, you know, I can just go on and on about the goodness of God and what he's done for me, and I'm sure you can too. Maybe you're sitting here listening and just thinking about what God has already done. You know, we're only in Tuesday. We haven't even gotten halfway through the week. But God, he's already done some great things. One thing that we can all testify is that he has woken us up these past 3 days of the week, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And that's just enough to thank him for. But like I said, we can go on and talk about the goodness of God and all that he has done and even what he's doing right now. But there is a word from God. There's something that I would like to encourage you with, you know, something that God placed inside of me. This is over the weekend. That's when God began to speak to me. And, you know, his word is just been filling me up. It's been filling me up, and I'm just so excited to share what God has given me. And I pray and I hope that something that is said tonight will encourage you, will help you, and most importantly, draw you even closer to him. And even if you don't know him right now, maybe and hopefully and prayerfully, it will prick your heart to know him and to accept him or welcome him back into your life and into your heart, because God, he loves you so much. He loves us. He loves us. All right, and those of you who are listening online, thank you for joining in. I'm Arthenius with One Touch Transformation, and if at any time you would like to call in and talk with me, or if anything that comes by, you have a question, or if you just like to comment, or, you know, some experiences that you would like to attest to, you can call 319-527-6091. That's 319-527-6091, and press the number 1, and we'll bring you online. If you're already listening on the phone, you know all you have to do is press the number 1, and we'll bring you on the call. So again, thank you for joining in, and we're going to jump right in. All right, so tonight what I want to talk about are God's promises and how they always come through. God's promises, that they still come through. So we can read about the different promises that God made to different ones in the Bible, and even the promises that still exist today, the promises that God has, you know, made to us. And the amazing thing about God, or one of the amazing things about God, is that despite what we do, despite our disobedience, despite us operating out of his will, do you know that his promises, they still come through. They still come through. And that's just enough to praise God and worship him for, because, you know, it's like, God, I continue to mess up. God, I continue to do wrong. God, I continue to disobey. When you tell me to go left, I go right. When you tell me to go, I stop. Or when you tell me to stop, I continue. But his promises, they still come through. Why? Because God is going to always uphold his end of the deal. God is always going to stick to his word. He's always going to fulfill his word, even when we don't. And we are all guilty. We are all guilty. For all have sinned and have fallen short to the glory of God. We have all messed up. We will continue to mess up while we are in this flesh. But thank God for, you know, his Holy Spirit that continues to remind us when we mess up, or remind us when we are operating out of the will of God, or remind us when we are just being disobedient. Thank God for his Holy Spirit, because without his Holy Spirit, we will not be aware of what we're doing. But when we have the Holy Spirit, it is a constant reminder to let you know, like, don't do that. Or, no, don't go. Or, you know, when it will remind us when we already messed up, like, I know I should not have done that. Or I know I should not have said that. You know, that's what the Holy Spirit does. But at the end of the day, it's such an amazing feeling to know that God's promises, they still come through. Despite who we are, what we do, the wrong that we do, God's promises still come through. And like I said, there are several examples that we can read about, we can study, and just understand, and where God has demonstrated, like, look, I am still God. If I told you that I was going to do it, then I'm going to do just that. If I said it, then you can bank on it. You can cash it. He's going to fulfill his end. He's going to fulfill his end of the deal. Like, he's always going to hold it up. So when we think about the word promise, you know, whenever we're kids and we share different things with our friends, sometimes you may ask them, like, do you promise? Like, especially if we're sharing secrets or something that's really important. You know, sometimes you might do the pinky promise where you interlock the pinky fingers. It's like, you promise not to say anything, or you promise you're going to do it. And whenever you lock those fingers, then, hey, you are sealing the deal. And so I can just recall, even when we were little kids, like, I have to tell you something, but you have to promise me that you won't tell anyone else. Or if you say you're going to do this, you're like, okay, you promise you're going to do it. If you lock those fingers, then that meant you were going to hold up that promise. You were going to do it. No ifs, ands, and buts. No matter what happens, you're going to hold up that promise. And so when we think about the word promise or promises, it's a declaration. This is, you know, whenever you look it up, this is the official definition. It says a declaration or assurance that one will do a particular thing, or that a particular thing will happen. So whenever we make promises, or when someone, and I'm talking about a human, so not God right now, but when someone makes us a promise, or when we make a promise, they are making a declaration and giving us assurance that they are going to do just what they said, or going to make something happen that they said going to happen. So when we're thinking about promises, it's something that we, you know, kind of rely on. It's like we have no doubt that it's going to happen, or no doubt you're going to do it. All because you said that you would do it. Like, I am counting on you. I'm counting on you to make it happen. I'm counting on you to get it done because you said that you would do it. So how many times has someone broken their promise to you? Or how many times have we broken promises to others? And, of course, we may not have been able to fulfill every single promise that we've made. Why? Because we are human. Things happen. And I'm not saying that we intentionally break promises, but sometimes there are certain things or certain circumstances, some situations that we cannot control because we are human. So we may not be able to uphold every single promise that we make, or every person or every individual that makes a promise to us may not be able to uphold each and every promise that they make.
That's just life. We are human. We forget. We mess up. We make mistakes because we are human. And so that's why promises, they are sometimes broken. That is something that we just have to learn to live with, learn to expect, and, you know, keep it moving. Doesn't mean it's the end of the world. Yes, we may be upset at times. We may be upset for a little while, but eventually, yeah, you get over. I mean, because just because your friend, you know, and especially when we were kids, it probably was easier when we were kids. As friends, when your friends broke promises when you were a kid, you may be upset for a little while, but what happens? You're friends again. You're back playing again. But I don't know what it is. As adults, when someone breaks a promise, it's like you are cut off. Sometimes it is that serious. And sometimes people may measure, you know, what type of promises they are. And maybe that's the cause of why sometimes it's cut off. Like, you broke a promise. You said that you weren't going to tell anyone, or you said that you weren't going to do it, or you said that you weren't going to do it. And so when you do forget, or when someone does forget, or when someone does blab it out, then it's like, I'm cutting you off. I don't want to talk to you anymore. I don't want to see you anymore. Or I'm upset because you couldn't make it happen when you said that you would. And sometimes, in some cases, not all cases, but in some cases, things come up, things happen where we're not, or people are not able to fulfill the promise that they made. And I know it hurts. It hurts. But we have to remind ourselves that we are human, and we have to remind ourselves that other individuals, they are human too. So they're not going to be able to fulfill every single promise. We're not going to be able to fulfill every single promise. But the point that I want to make, or the point that I want to stress, is that we serve a God. We have this amazing God, amazing, amazing God, who fulfills every promise. Every promise that he makes to us, every promise that he made back then, he fulfills it. He doesn't forget. He doesn't forget. He is going to make sure that he does everything that he says, or that he says that, you know, whether they're good or bad, you know, because there are blessings and there are curses. Whatever the case is, whatever God says, he's gonna fulfill it. And so there may be cases when God said, well, if you do this, if you do this, you know, the blessings, they'll fall upon you. But he also says, if you don't do this, and if you don't do this, things are still going to happen. So either way, God keeps his word. He keeps his word. Numbers 23 and 19 says, God is not a man that he shall lie. So if he said it, then he's going to do it, whether it's good or bad. If God tells you, thou shalt not kill, and you do it anyway, then he has something waiting for you. But if God tells us if we obey his commandments, he has something waiting for you as well. So either way, God, he covers himself every single time. You cannot catch him in a lie. No matter how hard you try, you can't catch him in a lie. Now, we can catch each other in lies. we can catch others in lies, because you know how it goes. When you tell one lie, you got to keep telling another to cover it up. And then you get to the point you done forgot what you done said. But God is not like that. You'll never get God tangled up in a lie, because he does not lie. He does not lie. It's impossible for him to lie. You know, God's been doing this for the longest time. So he's not going to go back on his word. He's not going to change who he is. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God said he's not a man that he shall lie. So he's just not going to do it. All right, so let us go to Genesis, very, very familiar story, very, very familiar example. So let's go to Genesis chapter 15, and we're going to start with the first verse. So depending on which version that you may be reading in, right now I'm going to be reading the King James Version. Sometimes you may see the word covenant.
And so when we're talking about promises and God making promises, you can also use the word covenant. God, he makes covenants. And there are things today still that we can compare or use as an example when we're talking about promises and covenant, because you do have different types of covenant or agreements or contracts, some people may say. But when we're talking about a covenant, especially when we're talking about a godly covenant, that is something that should never be broken, because God doesn't break his promises. He doesn't break his covenant. He, like I said, that's one thing that he will always uphold. And so when we're talking about today's covenants that we make with one another, or what people make with each other, for example, we have marriages, relationships, friendships, whatever it may be, when they're covenants, those are supposed to be things that are not easily broken or easily torn apart. If it's a godly covenant, then it should not be easily torn apart. But in some cases, there are some covenants that are not godly, whatever they may be, whatever area it may be in. I'm not going to go into any details, but this is, you know, your preference or whatever, you know. When it comes to covenants, there are some people, or there are, how can I put it? Some people try to force, I'll say that, some people try to force covenants and force them to be godly covenants when they're not, and not godly ordained. And so when things begin to happen, when things begin to shift or fall apart, then it's like, okay, what happened? How did this happen? That's why we have to be so careful whenever we are forming any kind of relationship. And I'm not just talking about marriages, but I'm talking about business relationships. I'm talking about friendships, partnerships, whatever it is. It is so important. It is so important to pray about it and to make sure God leads us and make sure that he directs us, so that we are making, you know, this partnership, this covenant, this friendship, making sure that it is godly, so that when things do happen, it is not so easily broken or so easily torn apart. And you will know, I can say, like, at least for me personally, the Holy Spirit will let you know when something is meant to be, when a covenant or when a partnership, a friendship, a relationship is meant to be. God's Holy Spirit will speak to you and bring things, you know, to let you know that, okay, this is God ordained. This is a true covenant, a godly covenant. And so it is so important. It is so important to pray about everything, to pray over everything. And so when it comes to agreements and covenants, relationships, partnerships, friendships, don't be afraid to pray about it. Don't be afraid to pray over it. Ask God to direct you. And he said, acknowledge him in all of your ways. So even when it comes to forming these bonds and these partnerships, friendships, relationships, acknowledge God in it. Don't be afraid. Don't think that it's just something so small. No. If it's going to impact your life, impact your relationship, and impact your spiritual life, then yet you need to acknowledge God even in that. So still talking about God's promises, how they still come through. God's promises still come through. All right, so we're in Genesis chapter 15, and we're going to begin with verse 1. And even in my Bible that I'm reading from, I'm reading in the Bible app, but in the King James Version, it has the heading labeled the covenant. So the covenant, or we can say the promise. And so since we know, you know, this is God's covenant, we know that this is one of his promises that he is going to fulfill. He's establishing this covenant. And like I said, this is a very familiar scripture, very familiar example that I'm going to talk about. All right, so reading Genesis 15, starting with verse 1, says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is the Eliezer of Damascus?
And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. I'm going to stop right there. All right, so here we have Abram and the Lord. So we know that this covenant is between the Lord and Abram. And usually when we're talking about a covenant, it's between two people. You know, that's the, you know, whether it's a partnership, relationship, a friendship, a marriage, business relationship. Like I said, this includes any type of, if you want to call them, ship. So the Lord right here, he's establishing this covenant between him and Abram. And so Abram, he's asking God, he's like, okay, so what are you going to give me? Not in a sense of, you know, of course we want things, we long for things, we desire things. But Abram, he's being very sincere at this point, and he's like, okay, I've decided to follow you. You know, I've left a familiar place. I've done what you asked me to. You told me to leave. So what are you going to do for me? Like, what am I going to get out of this relationship with you? And if we're honest, whenever we are forming relationships or partnerships, and I'm just going to keep it at relationships, whenever we are forming relationships, both parties usually want to know, okay, how can we benefit one from, like, how can we benefit from each other? Not saying that we're only in it for the benefits, although there are times, if we're honest with ourselves, there are times when we form certain relationships, we do want to know, okay, what can I get out of this? But at the same time, you do want to know, okay, how is this going to benefit me and how is this going to benefit you? Because we want to make sure that we are getting something, you know, positive out of this relationship. If we're going to be spending this time together, if we're going to be, you know, if we're forming this bond, how can we sharpen one another? You know, when we're talking about a positive relationship, how can I make you better? And how can you make me better? Those should be some of the things that we are thinking about when we're creating relationships. What are we going to get out of this? Because I do not want to get in a relationship where it's going to bring me down, where it's going to make me worse than I was before I started. I don't need this in my life, and you don't need that either, which is why it is also another reason to be, you know, prayerful about the relationships that you form. You need to know. We, you know, both parties need to know if it's going to sharpen each other, if it's going to bring them or bring out the positive things in it. So this is, you know, this is what Abraham is asking God, okay, we're forming this covenant. We're forming this relationship. I'm doing what you're asking me to do or what you're requiring me to do. So what's in it for me? How is this relationship or how is this covenant? How is it going, or yeah, how is this relationship going to benefit me? What's in it for me? And sometimes you may be asking God, you know, these thoughts come to mind like, okay, God, I'm doing what you asked me to do, at least trying, you know, I'm trying to do everything that you've asked me to do. I'm trying to obey your word. I'm trying to follow you. I'm doing everything to the best of my ability. I'm serving you, but what's in it for me? What's it, like, sincerely, how can I benefit? How can I be blessed by having this relationship? And so Abram at this time, he's asking, what's in it for me? What are you going to do for me? What are you going to do for me? And so he tells him to, you know, look into the heavens. And if you can number the stars, and I don't know if you've ever paid attention. I'm pretty sure if you, depending on where you live, I should say that, because if you live in an area where, you know, the big city, you may not be able to see stars all the time. But, you know, I've always, you know, lived in the South, and I grew up in the country where I have been blessed. It's a blessing to be able to look up into the night sky and just see the beautiful stars. You know, just sometimes I still just gaze up in the sky just to look at the stars. And some nights you may see many stars. Some nights you may see one or two, and some nights you may not see any. But if you've ever had an opportunity to just walk out and just see the stars, I mean, it's just beautiful. I find it just so beautiful looking at the stars at night. And so he says, if you can number the stars, it goes on. This is in verse, let's scroll back up. This is in verse 5. He says, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. That's how I'm going to bless you. If you have this relationship with me, just look into the night sky. Look up into the heavens. And you see the stars, that's how much I'm going to bless you. Your seed, I'm going to bring forth as many as the stars in the sky, if you can number them. And, of course, it is impossible to be able to number every star, to count them out. I mean, there's so many stars up. You lose count when you're trying to actually number them. But that's what God said he had for him. Just look up and just try to count them. You can't. And truth be told, sometimes it's even hard to count the blessings already, even to this day. Up until this point in your life, sometimes you can't even begin to count the blessings. Like the song says, see what the Lord has done. You ought to count your many blessings. We have many blessings. It is a blessing in serving God. It is a blessing. And, you know, out of the 34 years that I've been on this earth and from the time that I've known God, and, you know, I've known him at a very young age, I have, it did not take me long to realize how blessed I was just in knowing him and in serving him. And then as I continue to get older, that's how I just begin. I just look back over my life and just, I can't count up everything God has done for me, because he has done so much. And so God, he's establishing this covenant saying, look, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. As many as the stars that appear. And I'm not just talking about even what beyond the seed, you know, beyond what, you know, the generations that he promised Abraham in this scripture, but blessings on top of blessings on top of blessings. And if we're honest, like if we are truly honest, the relationship that we have with God, there have been so many blessings. And so he's establishing this covenant early, saying, look, I'm going to bless you with this relationship. All right, so now let's move on to Genesis 16, the next chapter, first verse. It says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, and maybe that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. All right, so here, I kind of skipped over a few things, but just to save time, I wanted to go to that next. So God established this covenant with Abram, saying, like, look, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your seed. You're going to have, you know, generations of blessings. And so now he has his wife, Sarai. It's like, okay. I have this wife, and I've been married to her for years, and now we are old, and Sarai, she's like, okay, I'm barren. I can't conceive.
Like, how do you have this covenant with God? How did God make this covenant with you? And here I am not able to even give you a child. How is this even possible? Like, what type of covenant is this? Like, why did he make this covenant with you and I can't even give you a child? So she's like, okay, since I can't do it, then how about Hagar? Why don't you just have a baby with her and that will be our seed, that will be our child? And if you really think about it, Sarah, she was not thinking at all, because it does not make sense. When you think about it, it does not make sense. Logically, it doesn't make sense, and you know, theoretically, it doesn't make sense. It's not your child. If you are allowing another woman to have a child with your husband, then it's not your child. Literally, it's not your child. Technically, it's not your child. Any means, it's not your child. This is, is Abraham's seed and Hagar's seed, child, but it's not your child. So you're not helping. You're not helping the situation at all. And sometimes we as humans feel like we can help God out. You know, he made us this promise. We've got this covenant, but it's because it has not happened yet, or it's not happening. It's taken too long to happen. So we feel like that we need to intervene and make it happen. And this is exactly what Sarah did. She's in a sense, she's saying, Lord, you made this covenant with my husband and, for our family, but it has not happened. I've gotten old. Time is running out. It's taking too long. So let me just intervene and see if I can help speed up the process. You made this covenant, so I know it. You said that you're going to do it. We have this relationship, or you have this relationship with my husband, with our family. You made this covenant, but it has not happened yet. So how about I kind of step in, help out a little bit, speed up the process. This is what Sarah was thinking. I'll let the handmaid, step in, let my husband, my handmaid, make the baby, and boom, we in business. But that is not the way God operates. He is a God of order. And first of all, he doesn't need our help. First of all, God does not need our help. He does not require our help. He does not need our help. He really probably doesn't want our help, because he already knows what he's doing. He already has it figured out. He knows how to orchestrate every single thing. He knows what order to do things in. He knows how he wants it completed. So why would he want our help? Why would he want us to intervene? He doesn't, because all we're going to do is mess up. We're going to mess up the plan. Here, God has already had it figured out. He had it laid out. He already said that, he had this covenant made out and laid out. And here comes Sarah, like, well, let me help out. Let me do this. And what happens? Here we have a problem. We have an issue. And we know this problem and this whole issue is still carrying on until today, generations and generations later. Today, still got those two groups of people fighting each other because of the promised child and this other seed. So yes, they're both Abraham's children, but one was the promised child, one was the covenant child, And so of course there's gonna be some issues. There's gonna be some hatred going on. There's gonna be some misunderstanding going on. I mean, even if we think about it from today's perspective, when you have two mothers and one father, of course it's going to be an issue. It's going to be a problem. It'll always be a problem. It will always be a problem. Fighting for attention, fighting for, that's my, you got one child saying, that's my dad. You got another child saying, that's my dad. When, in reality, it is both of their dads. But when you have two mothers and one father, it's always going to be an issue. There's always going to be a problem. That's not the way it was supposed to be. And Abram knew that's not the way it was supposed to be. Sarah knew it wasn't supposed to be that way. But because we are human, because they were human,
they decided to call themselves helping out God. But God didn't ask for help. He didn't ask for help. And so with them intervening, you know, I don't want to put it all on Sarah because Abraham didn't have to do it. He could have turned it down. He could have said, no, I don't think we should do that. That's not the way God intended for it to happen. But, you know, he was being human too. So he's like, okay, my wife, she offered another woman, so I'm not going to turn it down. So it wasn't all just Sarah's fault. So just like we're not going to just blame Eve. So we're not just going to blame Sarah. So Abraham, he gave in and said, all right, if that's what you really want, Sarah, then okay. So we have this interruption in the covenant, not on God's time or not because of God, but the interruption came from man. Interruption came from the human. But we can, and this is one thing I thought about over the weekend too. I said, we can sit back and judge Sarah for her actions. And you know what? I actually got convicted. because I'm like, I'm blaming Sarah, not even blaming Sarah, but just telling, just, you know, thinking out loud, saying, that was so dumb, you know? That was so dumb. It was a stupid idea. I got convicted, and I had to think about myself and think about how many times I've made mistakes and how many times I tried or I did, you know, being transparent, how many times I intervened, you know, with God's plan. And it began to, like I said, it really began to convict me. And I was like, wow, I have no room to call out Sarah and Abraham. None of us. We, as many times we've read the story, we can be like, that was just stupid or that was just dumb. But in actuality, we have no room to point fingers, no room to call them, you know, names, no room to say that was a dumb decision, because you know what? We've all been there. Maybe not in that same sense, not in that same scenario, but we've all been there. We've all tried to intervene. We've all tried to, you know, help God out. So it doesn't matter who we are, what time period we're in. God has made each of us a covenant. He's made a covenant. And for some, he may have made, you know, more than one. He's made us some promises. And who are we? Who are we to judge anyone on their mistakes? Who are we to call anyone any name on the mistakes that they've made, the times that they tried to, you know, play God? Because you have some people who try to play God, try to fix things themselves. And sometimes we may be guilty of trying to fix things that God intends to happen or get in the way when God has one thing laid out and then we get in the way and we mess it all up. We've all been there. We've all been there. So none of us have room to judge. None of us have room to point fingers. None of us are perfect. None of us can say that we've always operated in the will of God at all times. We've all been there. We've all messed up. We've all made mistakes. We've all have fallen. But the amazing thing about God is that his promises still come through, which brings me to Genesis chapter 21. And we're going to read verses 1 through 7. Genesis chapter 21, 1 through 7. And the Lord visited Sarah as he has said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son,
Isaac being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck, for I have borne him a son in his old age. So what's so important about that second verse, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God has spoken to him. So God, he had a set time. He has a set time for everything when it comes to his covenant, when it comes to his promises. What God has for you, it is for you, but it's only going to come at a set time. So we may not receive everything at the time that we want it, but he has a set time, each of us, for everything that he has for us. And so you may be asking, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? If I decide to have this relationship with God, if I decide to allow him to come into my life, or if I try it again, you know, and we're coming to the part where we're going to have our call to salvation. And so this is really important. This is really important for those who are listening and wondering, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? And maybe you've been wondering that, you know, for years. Like, I'm serving God. I'm doing all that I can or everything that I think that is right. But I don't understand what's in it for me. What does God have for me? The number one thing he wants you to know is that he loves you, and he's God sent his son to die for you. That's the first thing that's in it for us when we establish or create this relationship with God or have this relationship with God. He loves you. Love is the greatest gift of all. It's the greatest gift that God has for us, that he has given us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so there are things that God promises on this earth and in the world to come, you know, the everlasting life. But you don't have to wait until you make it to the other side to enjoy what God has for you. But God has things on this earth in store for you, houses and lands, sisters and brothers, that love, that peace, that joy, and the desires of your heart. So even tonight, start again, or even just begin. If you have not established that relationship with him, you can start it tonight and begin to walk in the things that he has for you, or the things that's in for you. He tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the first step in establishing this covenant with our Lord and Savior is just confession. We have to confess our sins, repent, be godly sorry, and confess. In exchange of our confession, God forgives, you know, he loves you and he forgives you. And once you begin to confess and as God forgives, you can welcome him into your heart. You can welcome him into your life. And you will begin to experience the promises of God. Now, I'm not saying immediately. Everything doesn't happen immediately, but gradually and over the years, the Holy Spirit will keep you and direct you, and you will begin to experience the promises of God. So make tonight the night that you established this covenant. And if you're ready, go ahead and begin to open your heart as I pray. Begin to confess your sins to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, God. You tell us if we confess our sins. God, I ask that you hear the confessions of your people tonight. Anyone who may be listening, anyone under the sound of my voice who is ready to confess their sins, God, I ask that you listen as they confess. Because we know that you're faithful and you're just to forgive. God, we ask for your forgiveness tonight of all of our wrongdoings in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for being a forgiven God. God, we thank you for cleansing us from all of our sins, all of our wrongdoings. God, for being a just God. And God, we believe that you sent your son Jesus to die for us. We believe in our heart that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross that we might be saved. And Father, we accept you tonight. We accept your Holy Spirit that it may direct us, that it may lead us, that it may guide us in the name of Jesus, that we may establish this relationship with you as you make this covenant with us, the covenant of salvation, the covenant of forgiveness, the covenant of promises over our life. God, we know you to be a promise keeper. We know you to be one who will keep your word. God, you tell us in your word that you're not a man that will lie. God, we know that you cannot lie. We take you at your word, and we accept the promises that you have over our life, the promises that you can heal, that you can save and deliver and set free. Father, we thank you and we praise you in advance for the things that are taking place in our life, the things that you are doing. God, I pray that you continue to have your way in the lives of your children. Go where I can't go. Send your word, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, I pray for everyone who is listening. I pray for those who are sick, those who are seeking a healing, those who are seeking a blessing, a miracle, whatever it may be, God, as I said, those who need you right now, go to wherever they are. God, I pray for everyone who's a part of Purpose Kingdom Network. I pray for those who do not know you, but God, even after this show, whatever show they may hear, God, I pray that they know you. God, I know that you are one that can do the impossible. God, thank you for what you have already done in our lives. Thank you for every promise that you have upheld and the promises that are to come. Help us to trust you, strengthen our faith, increase our faith so that we may trust you even more. Help us not to intervene in your work, but help us to take you at your word, to trust you and let your will be done in our lives. Father, we know that there is nothing too hard for you and there's nothing that you cannot do. Help us to let our light shine so that others may see you and glorify you. Father, we thank you and we praise your holy name, for your name is worthy to be praised. Father, we thank you. We love you. Even for those who have accepted you, God, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for you are so good. And we'll forever give your name all of the praise and all of the glory that you richly deserve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Those of you who are listening, and if you gave your life to Christ, if you accepted him tonight, I want to welcome you into the family, into the kingdom. And the next step, you will be you finding a church home pastor who is able and who is, you know, loving, God-fearing, who will help you on your new journey. If you can't find, you know, a physical church, there are lots of churches who are having or still having services online. Reach out to someone. Reach out to someone that you know who's in, you know, a God-fearing church, a loving church, one who loves people and loves the people of God. So I strongly encourage you to establish a relationship, you know, a godly relationship with someone who can help strengthen you on your new journey, because it may not be easy. It's not going to be easy all the time, but thank God for His Holy Spirit that will help you along the way. I want to take this time and thank all of our online listeners for joining in with One Touch Transformation. This was our 1,541st episode, so I greatly appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to either call in or listen online. Truly, you did not have to, but I'm so glad that you did. And I really pray, and I really hope that something that was said has blessed you, has encouraged you, and has strengthened you. To let you know, or to remind you, that God's promises still come through. No matter what mistakes we make, no matter the wrong turns we take, no matter how many times we try to intervene or try to play God or help God, please be reminded that God doesn't need our help. He doesn't require our help. He already has it laid out. The promises that He has made for us, they will be fulfilled because His promises still come true. Again, I am Arthenius Jackson with One Touch Transformation. For more information about the organization, you can definitely look us up. You can find us on Facebook and all social media platforms under One Touch Transformation. And you'll learn more about what we have done in the past and the new things to come. It's hard to believe that we're heading into 2022, and we're actually going into our 8th year of being established. January will be our eight-year anniversary. So it has truly been a blessing being able to serve the community and surrounding communities when it comes to educating about sexual abuse. And we appreciate everyone who has been so supportive from day one. We've had some great supporters. We've had some awesome supporters who continue to support today. And so definitely want to tell all of you, thank you. Thank you so much for all that you've done, everyone who's helped with the organization, all of our great mentors with the Butterfly Effect. So thank you, even with our health department. Thank you. Healthy Mind, Healthy Body, thank you. You truly have been a blessing to the organization, and because of you, we've been able to bless our community. Thank you again. And thank you, lastly, to Purpose Kingdom Network for allowing us to have this additional platform. Thank you so much, because without this, we wouldn't even be able to get the word out, get the encouragement out, or, you know, even be able to talk about it on this platform. So we are greatly appreciative of everyone who has played a role, everyone who has supported. Truly has been a blessing, so that we can be a blessing. So I'm going to close out with this song, He's Able. God is able to do just what He said He will do. He's going to fulfill every promise to you. Don't give up on God, cause He won't give up on you, cause He's able. Oh, yes, He's able. God is able to do just what He said He would do. He's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you, 'cause he's able. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he's able. So I just want to encourage you, that God is able, because he's gonna fulfill every promise that he made, because he's a man that cannot lie. All right, so God bless each and every one of you. Remember, I love you, and God loves you even more. Have a good night.
Jesus lives.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never want to see me down, I will not lose.